business.
Hello?
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were. Oh, it is day two of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, but it's not really day two. It's really just part two as we're going through the first round. If you've missed picks 1 through 16, you're going to want to go back and listen to that. You can find it on iTunes or, of course, at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. We are also on Twitter at NFU Podcast. And you can find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. We have the entire Superfan Super Mock Draft printed there for you. It's in an Excel form, so you can check out how all the picks have gone straight through rounds one all the way to the end. I think they're planning on getting through all the way to the end. They're in round five as of the recording of this podcast. But who cares about those later rounds? We still have the first round to get through. And this is what we do. Since we have 32 super fans, each one will act as the GM of their team. Now, they are not picking the player that they think the GM of their team is going to pick. They are picking the player they want the GM of their team to pick. Moving on now.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Well, it's not the first pick. It's actually the 17th pick, and it is owned by the Atlanta Falcons. Our Falcons superfan is Tim. Tim has selected the linebacker from Ohio State, Darren Lee. Tim, tell me a little bit about the pick here.
Absolutely thrilled to be able to get Darren Lee at this point. Like, this is 2 years in a row. Last year would be getting Vic Beasley, and this year would be getting Darren Lee, that I'm able to, you know, draft exactly what I've wanted, like, going into the draft. So I don't know if, you know, the other super fans are just dumb or what, but they keep giving me exactly what I need to make my team better. You know, Darren Lee, stoked because he fits exactly what Dan Quinn's looking for. Like, Dan Quinn's biggest phrase is he wants players who are both fast and physical. And Darren Lee fits both of those great. I mean, fast. I mean, he's running, what was it, like a 4.43 40? Like, that's awesome. And then physical, you know, I mean, he's a little bit lacking on that, but for a weak side linebacker, he's actually pretty strong. But I mean, as a scheme fit, and the, you know, for the Falcons, he's going to be that linebacker safety hybrid type, you know, that like the Panthers drafted last year in Shaq Thompson, where, you know, it's a guy who can cover, you know, the new age tight end, a guy who could get in there and smack a running back in the mouth if that's what it comes to. And he fit a massive need because we have terrible, terrible holes on our defense, you know, primarily in the linebacking core, you know, and we have holes at safety as well. So for him to be able to, you know, kind of play that hybrid, it'll forgive whoever we have just plugging a spot in the safety role, you know, for us. So, you know, I'm very, very happy that we were able to get him. You know, not, he's pretty raw. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience at linebacker, only 2 years in college playing linebacker. But overall, I think, like, he's going to be a very, very good fit for us.
As my boyfriends of last season, I do not plan on coming back to my jilted lovers in the Atlanta Falcons. But what other holes are you planning on filling here later in the draft?
Man, the Falcons have so many holes to fill that it's so frustrating. You know, like I alluded to earlier, we have a glaring hole at strong safety because we let William Moore go, and Kamal Ishmael is not a starting safety in the NFL. You know, we also have a brand new hole at corner because Jalen Collins can't stop doing drugs. So he's suspended for 4 games and he's not even good to begin with. So I don't even know why we were relying on him. We have some holes on offensive line. Matt Ryan's the third most hit quarterback since 2012. So, you know, everybody's sitting here doubting him. I mean, realistically, it's just the fact that he keeps getting pounded that is the major problem. So, you know, hoping that I can address, you know, the safety position. You know, we need a tight end. That's a lesser need. We still have Jacob Tammy, and he's serviceable, but definitely need safety, definitely need offensive line, and then, you know, just need a couple more playmakers, and hopefully we go 500 again this year. But it's tough. You know, when you're playing in the division with Carolina and they're coming off of a Super Bowl loss, they're only going to be even hungrier, and Cam Newton is a terrifying, terrifying large man who I wouldn't want to line up against. So hopefully it'll get better, but like I said, a lot of holes. We're basically the Swiss cheese of the NFL.
I can't let you get away with saying Jacob Tammy is serviceable and tight end is not, is a lesser need. I mean, come on, man. Like, that's
it's
not
a lesser
right.
need than like pass through. Our number, like our highest player sack total last year was Vic Beasley with 4. I think pass rush is a little bit more critical than tight end. And anytime
well,
you have Julio Jones, like, I mean, it's nice to have other people, you know, soaking up targets, but, you know, they invested in Mohamed Sanu, so hopefully he'll be able to take a little bit of pressure off Julio. You don't need a third weapon necessarily. It's nice to have. It's not a need to have.
Good job defending yourself, sir. All right, that's Tim. He's our Atlanta Falcons super fan. I love it. Tim, I'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Bye, Jay.
With the 18th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the Indianapolis Colts. They're represented by Dan. He has selected the linebacker from Eastern Kentucky, Noah Spence. Dan, what were you thinking at this point?
We have some big-time glaring needs for pass rusher. We just got a new defensive coordinator that promises to get after the passer, but in order to do so, we need some firepower to do that. So went after Noah Spence. He had some problems off the field at Ohio State before transferring to Eastern Kentucky, but sounds like he was clean. He was willing to be drug tested regularly, passed all of those. And then he went to the Senior Bowl and had a pretty dominant performance during the week there with interviews as well as on the field stuff. So sounds like without the problems, he could have been a top 10 pick that kind of fell because of some off the field issues. So hopefully he can come into Indianapolis and pick up where he left off at the Senior Bowl week and provide that much needed pass rush. Their pass rushers are pretty old with Robert Mathis and Trent Cole and Eric Walden. He's more of the edge guy, but I think he led the team in sacks from that position last year. So got some older guys that need replaced, and this is a perfect opportunity to get that. It's kind of surprised the Colts are picking at 18, so I don't think they'll be drafting this high again anytime soon, but hopefully Noah Spence can prove me right.
What were some of the other guys you were considering at this pick?
There's the Ryan Kelly from Alabama. We need a center for sure, and he's probably the top-rated center. It's tough to pass on him, but, you know, you can also argue that center is one of the easiest positions to play along the offensive line, but then there's the argument that the Indianapolis can't really figure it out. So it would have been nice to have grabbed him as well. Was hoping to get him a little bit later, but when given an opportunity to get a game record like Noah Spence, I had to go for that. And I was also looking at guard, but similar argument could be made. This draft's not necessarily going to be known for the guards at the top, so I looked to get one of them later on as well.
How about anything on offense? Are you concerned at all with Andrew Luck coming back?
Yeah, it's definitely a concern. He was 2-5 as a starter last year, so he's going to have to turn that around for sure. Offensive line issues are a big part of him going 2-5, so need to shore that up. And then a receiver, it seems like we're going to rely on last year's first-round pick that many, myself included, were kind of questioning at the time with Philip Dorsett, but with the depth they had last year, it seems like that's all gone. Lost a tight end in Kobe Fleener, which, you know, could be a big concern, but he dropped so many passes last year that it's hopefully that we can work around that and get Dwayne Allen involved more in the passing game.
Excellent. All right, good job, Dan. I'm sure I'll be talking to you later on.
All right, sounds good.
The Bills are up next at the 19th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft. Robert is one of our new superfans. Of course, he joined by sending us an email to nextfanup@gmail.com. He selected the defensive tackle from Louisville, Sheldon Rankins. Robert, what were you? Was this the player you were targeting all along, or did you have your eyes on someone else?
I'll be honest. I did have my eyes on someone else. I was crestfallen. I was hoping to get the ecstasy eating machine, Noah Spence, but he went to pick before. That being said, still super happy to get Sheldon Rankins. He's going to fit greatly in the middle of that 3-4 defense. Added benefit of bringing him on is you get to move Marcell Dareus over to the 5 technique. When you're paying someone $100 million, It's better to have him disrupting the passer and causing havoc over there as opposed to having him in the middle, in my opinion. So I feel the position, you know, taking Rankins not only keeps defensive tackle well, but also makes that defensive end spot a lot better for us.
All right. So you mentioned Noah Spence. You got Sheldon Rankins. Those are defensive players. Or any thoughts on your offensive side of the ball?
Not in the first round. There's possibly a wide receiver, but I don't feel it's as big a need as some other people do, just given the style of offense we run. I see this as a defensive draft and see this as an opportunity for Rex Ryan to get in his guys, guys that fit his system, as opposed to last year, it was just a mismatch. If I were the GM, I'd be trying to get defensive players in the first three rounds, try to get three starters out of this draft. That being said, later on, I wouldn't mind maybe snagging a developmental QB and some guard depth and maybe a wide receiver, but for the most part, defense, defense, defense.
Which makes a lot of sense, being in the division with my Patriots. It's going to take a defense to sort of slow down what the Patriots are doing. All right, Robert, good job. Good pick. I'm sure we'll be talking again as we get ready. I know I'll be definitely talking to you again during division preview week. So look forward
to that. All right. Have a good one, Pop.
The 20th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft is another AFC East team. This time it's the New York Jets. They're represented by Andrew. He takes linebacker out of Georgia, Leonard Floyd. Andrew, was this guy you had your hearts and hopes set on?
I was sort of hoping for one of the top three offensive tackles to fall, but it didn't happen. And the Jets fill a position that's sort of been a position of need ever since the Vernon Golston pick in 2008, it seems like forever since the Jets have had an outside pass rush, they are very good at getting pressure up the middle with those studs they have on the line and Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, and Leonard Williams. But it's been a while since they've been able to get pressure from the outside, and we saw in the AFC title game how important it is, especially for a quarterback like Tom Brady against a quarterback like him, to get pressure from the outside. And the Jets did take Lorenzo Maldon with a third-round pick last year in the third round, but they've been having Calvin Pace play the other side for way too long. And a guy like Floyd, who is adept at both getting to the quarterback and dropping in coverage, is one of those. He's one of those players that you look for that is going to be one of the future of the NFL player that you don't know. If you're a quarterback, you don't know if he's going to be coming at you or if he's going to be dropping back at the snap. And those are the type of guys that you're going to need in order to beat a team like the Patriots on a regular basis.
Now, I don't remember if we had started the draft before DeBrickashaw retired, but I know that the acquisition of Ryan Clady occurred after the draft had already begun. Does that change anything that you would have done differently in this draft?
Not really, because offensive line was a priority even before the DeBrickashaw Ferguson's retirement. And if you'll see, once we released the entire draft, like offensive line was a priority for me also. And as for the Clady move, I believe that the Jets played it perfectly again because, yeah, while Ferguson is a team leader, and it's a possibility that maybe something in the locker room might come up at this point because of the way the Jets have treated Fitzpatrick and the way they sort of traded Ferguson. I think that they did what they had to do, sort of like a very Patriots-y type of philosophy, if I may say so myself. But if Clady gets healthy, he's an upgrade over what Ferguson has done. And, yeah, if the guy like Jack Conklin falls to number 20, I could see the Jets taking him, but I find that very, very unlikely.
We mentioned offensive line. You took a linebacker. Any other holes to fill here later in the draft?
The cornerback position. The Jets caught Antonio Cromartie earlier this year, and they do have Marcus Williams ready to take over, who had about 7 interceptions last year to lead the team. But you don't really want to count on a former undrafted free agent to have no competition in training camp. So I could see the Jets taking a cornerback, and I could see them taking a quarterback in the mid rounds, a guy like Cardale Jones or a guy like Christian Hackenberg, if they're available. I'll be shocked if they take Paxton Lynch in the first round. He's on the board in our mock draft at number 20, and I passed him up just based off the fact that the Jets took Bryce Petty last year in the fourth round. They already have a guy who's going to have to sit on the sideline for a year or two. I can't see them investing such high draft capital and having the same exact situation, a guy like Paxton Lynch.
All right, Andrew's one of our super fans. You can hear frequently on the show. He joins me every now and then on Thursdays. You're going to hear him a little bit more frequently on the weekends. Andrew, thanks for jumping in.
Anytime, Pat.
Pick 21 is the Washington Redskins. We go across the pond for our super fan, Neil. He's our Scottish super fan. Don't get that wrong. He is picking the defensive tackle from Alabama, Ashawn Robinson. Neil, tell me about your pick here.
Well, Jay, for the first time in a long time, Washington have a major need, which is defensive tackle, and it seems to just marry in beautifully with the tremendous depth of that position in this year's draft. So, Ashawn Robinson, he's going to come into our rotation. We lost, of course, Jason Hatcher. Well, we decided not to re-sign Jason Hatcher, and your new signing, Terrence Knighton. We need to replace both of them. I think as we only play 30% of our defensive snaps with a nose tackle, I think we could probably look for that later in the draft. But Ashawn Robinson, he comes in at 6'4", 307 pounds, and he can play a little bit of nose if needed, but he'll be a defensive end, looking more to replace the snaps that Hatcher used last year. So tremendous draft for defensive line depth, and lucky for us.
This sounds like a need pick, and it just happened, as you mentioned, the position is deep. Was this the guy you wanted, or were you hoping that maybe one of the other guys fell down?
I note that Sheldon Rankins has been picked already, I think, by Buffalo. That would have been a player who would have certainly been on our radar. But there's a whole group of these players here, and just Ashawn was the guy that I actually personally liked the best. I think he's got a great upside. He's ready to play from day one. Versatile, strong player. Good. Just fits in nicely. But yeah, Rankins we may have taken because he has a bit more pass rush ability, but no, really like Robinson.
What are some of the other holes you're looking to fill later on?
Well, in this draft with the defensive tackle depth, we could quite easily be delighted if we picked up another defensive tackle, maybe with a little bit of nose tackle ability in the second round. The one player who is always just in the back of my mind is Ryan Kelly, another Alabama player, the center from Alabama. He's a player I like a lot, and he would fill in a big need for us at center. We've struggled with the center position for the last, two or three years. We have a rather undersized center at the moment. He would be difficult to turn down in the second round. We're certainly looking for defensive backfield help, safety or corner. This day and age, you're looking for safeties who can play corner and corner who can kind of play safety. So that would be great. Bit of inside linebacker depth, perhaps. Maybe a young player to develop. And likewise, maybe a wide receiver to develop in the lower rounds. And I think it's always prudent to select a quarterback at some point in your draft, even if it's sort of sixth, seventh round. And that would be good. But certainly, defense.
Neil's one of our Thursday regulars. You can catch him on the Next Fan podcast, Next Fan Up podcast, along with me, usually on Thursdays. Neil, thanks for jumping in.
No problems, Jay. Anytime you like.
With the 22nd pick, it belongs to the Houston Texans. That's our super fan, James. He selects wide receiver out of Baylor, Corey Coleman. James, tell me about your pick here.
Well, Pod, I mean, we need to surround Brock with some things that are going to make him successful if we want this contract to work out for him and for the team. Obviously, we have DeAndre Hopkins on the other side. What the Texans have always kind of lacked, though, is a wide receiver that can stretch the field vertically. There weren't a whole lot of great wide receiver options in free agency. And between both Corey Coleman and Will Fuller from Notre Dame, both represent a big speed threat on the outside that can stretch the field, open up the run game for our other newly signed free agent, Lamar Miller, and hopefully take a little bit of pressure off of Brock in his first year as a full-time starter.
I was going to say, this wide receiver class has been taking a lot of hits in terms of their speed overall, so there weren't really a lot of options in terms of guys that can stretch the field.
Right, and so typically, you know, this may seem a bit of a stretch, especially for a guy like Corey Coleman, who projected as a much later round pick, had a really good combine, has been moving up steadily ever since. He had a great visit to the Houston Texans facility just after the combine. It seems that the coaching staff has become a little bit enamored with him. So it might be a little bit of a stretch, but kind of the nice thing with the way the Texans have structured all their contracts, we don't have a lot of holes that have been opened up this past offseason.
You mentioned helping out Brock Osweiler in his first year as a Texan quarterback. Any thoughts on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, in our mock draft, I had approached it that we would re-sign Crick. Turns out he's going to go to Denver. That would change things a little bit. We're going to need a defensive tackle. When we signed Vince Wilfork last year, he was expected to play a little bit better than what he did, so hopefully we can get a young guy in there, learn some tricks from Vince Wilfork, and have somebody to move forward, get another guy to replace Crick on the defensive end as well. We let go of Raheem Moore, which a lot of people would argue you might be better off just playing with 10 defenders as opposed to having Raheem Moore out there as safety. So we'll probably look to get a safety in the later rounds as well.
All right, James, thanks for jumping in. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road.
Thanks a lot, Pod.
And with the 23rd pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Minnesota Vikings, who are represented by Davey, select Josh Doctson. He's the wide receiver from TCU. Now, as you've heard, we've had every other Superfan available talk about their pick. Unfortunately, Davey's on assignment. At the time that we recorded the Superfan Super Mock Draft, he was actually off somewhere in the mountains of America. And so his reception was not that good.
Hey, next fan up. This is Viking Superfan Davey with our Superfan mock draft picks, giving it a start with what we address in this offseason. After our devastating loss to Seattle, it was very clear that we needed some offensive line help. Teddy's been getting crushed all year. I think he was the most sacked quarterback in the league. So we brought in Alex Boone. He's going to be, you know, the big pillar to that new offensive line. On top of that, we also brought in a tackle, Andre Smith. You know, he's from the Bengals, not a ton of interest around the league, but he's going to help make a little competition on that line. This is all going to have a ton of impact on how we draft, considering this was our biggest need going into the year. After that, we brought in a couple safeties, re-signed a bunch of guys, and we're looking pretty solid in terms of free agency. I like what Rick Spielman's doing. In terms of how that impacts the draft, it leaves one glaring hole. We let Mike Wallace leave. Not that he was all that great last year, but we still need somebody at receiver. We've got a whole bunch of rookie, unproven, you know, young guys. We've got the bust in Cordero Patterson that everybody still seems to hope will somehow turn it on, but I doubt that'll happen. So in the Superfan mock draft, there was really, you know, a couple guys I had my eye on. Laquon Treadwell and Josh Doctson were my two top choices. Josh Doctson fell to us, and we snatched him up. I think if the Vikings were to go this direction, most people in Minnesota would be very happy. The only other, you know, considerations were if all the top wide receivers were off the board, we were looking into a little bit of linebacker depth, considering we're bringing back old man Greenway and a couple others. You know, it seems like we could add some help with Barr over there. Lenard Floyd, it seems like a good one. There's a couple other ones that we considered, but that's about it. So that's where we have it in the Superfan mock draft this year, and we'll catch you next time.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.
Yes, we are on to Cincinnati at pick number 24. Our superfan is English Simon. He has selected the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, Chris Jones. All right, English Simon, tell me about the pick here.
Well, it came off, obviously, the back of a bit of a wide receiver run where I was probably initially looking. But then I think the thing about the Bengals is we're in a position to take the best player available. And the way that I had kind of ranked them, defensive tackle, Chris Jones was the guy I thought had the most potential to be a great player. So that's what I did there. Our defensive line is getting a little bit older than we'd like. And I think some new youth there and a couple of guys, a guy that can sit behind Geno Atkins and Dame Zarpeco will be a good addition to the team. And I think obviously, yeah, just with the value of the position, I just thought it was a great pick for me.
Was this the guy that you had targeted, or were you looking at some of the other defensive tackles hoping they'd fall?
Yeah, I think a couple of guys who've done previously, and I know kind of a lot of people talked about him, Sheldon Rankins. It was a player I was quite interested in. Again, if I'm honest, my plan was probably to be pick one of the two receivers that I liked, but then there was a run, like I said, so I kind of had to sort of reevaluate as all people do, and decided that, you know, it came down to the potential with Chris Jones, that he was a guy that I was really, really after when it came to knowing that the receivers would go. And yeah, that was a pick for me. Hopefully, like I said, it's a long-term one. I think the guy's got a lot of work to do, but I think it's one that you could pay off in the long haul.
You mentioned the back-to-back wide receiver picks that happened right in front of you. Obviously, wide receivers got to be a position of concern for you. Is that a spot that you're looking at in the next rounds?
Absolutely, yeah. Probably a couple of times I'd like to dip into the well. I think the one thing that people have got to be careful about the Bengals needing desperately a wide receiver, I think, is the number two receiver, probably number three receiver in our team, behind AJ Green and Tyler Eifert, doesn't need to catch 100 passes. It's just somebody who can make sure that when there's an opportunity with a double coverage that Green will get, that we can move the ball down the field, because Marvin Jones and Mosley, there will be losses, but they're not like huge pieces of the puzzle. I think it's one of those things that you just need that extra attention to not make it so easy to defend against us, which can be the case.
Is this the last year for your head coach?
Well, yeah, I think it's put up or should put, to be honest. Obviously, the talk on the podcast on Thursday, was about, previously, was been about him being on the hot seat. And I think, obviously, he is, as he should be. But I think this time, I also think if we don't win, then that'll be the end. I think given that we lost Dalton last year, and I think that gave him a pass, but at least this year, there's no excuses, I think. And I think he'll go if we don't win a playoff game.
All right, that's English Simon. Thanks for jumping in, man.
Thanks, Pod. Speak to you soon.
Pick 25 belongs to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Our super fan is Greg. He's also a Thursday regular with me. He has selected the linebacker from Clemson, Kevin Dodd. Is linebacker the position you were looking at? Or, well, basically, put it this way, Greg. What positions were you looking at with this pick? And is the linebacker one of need?
I was looking at all defense. basically, he's an edge rusher primarily. So Kevin Dodd out of Clemson, he was the fifth rated pass rusher on my board, and he was the last one left. So because of scarcity and the drop-off after him, I decided to go with him over other options. But I think he could be a day-one starter, and what beat him out over other guys like Andrew Billings for me, the defensive tackle out of Baylor, was that he could play potentially 80% of the snaps this year and next year, where I think Billings will never get to that snap percentage.
What other guys were you considering with this pick?
Another guy was the small school cornerback, William Jackson III. He fit everything the Steelers looked for in a corner, with the same age, playing experience, and attributes and speed and height and everything. It's just the small school guy, and for whatever reason in our mock, the corners are not going off the board, so there's not the same scarcity. So I went with the big school guy, which the Steelers normally like to do, and the edge rusher, because we got to get James Harrison off this team eventually.
What other positions are you hoping to fill in later in the draft?
One big need position is our 3-4 defensive end. We have our starters locked up in Tuitt and Hayward, but we definitely need to get them off the field more. They played some obscene amount of snaps last year, and it really showed during the later part of the season. We need to reduce their snaps to about only 80% of the total snaps. So we need a rotational guy in there. So I'm hoping to fill that in the second or third round.
All right. That's Greg, our Steelers super fan. Good job, Greg.
Thanks, Jay.
All right, at pick number 26, I'm excited to say we have a trade. It involves the Dolphins and the Seahawks. And here with us again is Ron, our super fan. Ron, what is the details of this trade?
Well, the big thing for me is when I got an opportunity to get back into the first round, as I had mentioned before, I really was looking for a defensive starter. So to get back there in the first round, there was a guy that I really liked at cornerback. I gave Seattle my second and third to move up from second to back into the first, and we swapped fifth this year for next year. So in essence, I got an additional fifth this year, which I'll be giving up next year. He got my second and third, and I got his first.
All right, and with your pick, you have selected William Jackson III, cornerback from Houston. What do you like about him that brought you back into the first round?
He's a bigger cornerback, and because the Dolphins are kind of going away from the small guys, getting back into the big guys. Cornerback is probably the biggest need on our team right now, but like I said, when I was at 13 before, it was too early for him. It was too early for even a guy like Eli Apple, who I don't know where he's going to go, but he still hasn't been drafted yet. So I really wanted a defensive starter. I really wanted a cornerback. So I felt like this was a good opportunity to grab a position I was kind of hoping to get at 13. So I felt like I needed to do it.
Do you feel like you've mortgaged a little too much? I mean, you are in the division with my Patriots, the team that sort of dominated the AFC East for many years. Is this going to be enough to get you over the hump?
Over the hump, no, but the Dolphins are in a 2 to maybe 3 year rebuild on that defense. That defense is very, very porous right now. It has a lot of holes. They have some good players, but they have so many big holes. So I don't see it as a one-year deal like I got to get it now. It's going to be 2 or 3 years to really build the defense back, and it starts with one piece at a time. And I felt like this was one of those pieces, especially at the weakest spot on the team right now at cornerback.
All right. What are you your picks are now all in the later rounds. What are you hoping to still fill here with the draft?
Possibly guard, linebacker. Linebacker would definitely be one I'd like to get, an inside linebacker specifically, maybe guard, and just from there, you know, whatever good players are available, probably more on the defensive side, possibly a running back, although I think next year is a much richer year for drafting running backs. Might just deal with what we have for now, so we're just going to have to see how it all plays out, how the players fall.
All right, Ron, thanks for doing the draft, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, great. Thanks.
And so with the 27th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, I am now joined by Green Bay Brian. Brian, you selected defensive tackle out of Baylor, Andrew Billings. What were you thinking?
That's right. I was happy to see Billings was still waiting there for me. I was basically thinking, you know, it's a deep defensive tackle draft. It's probably not our biggest need on defense. We really need somebody at inside linebacker, but both Ragland and Darren Lee were already taken pretty early. So I knew I was going to have to sit back and just wait to see which of the many defensive tackles fell to me, and he was the one.
What are some of your other positions of need that you would considering at this point?
Well, I think defensive tackle, kind of that nose tackle position, is an area where we are really thin, both literally and figuratively, now that B.J. Raji is taking a one-year hiatus, allegedly. So, you know, we got another guy who's on suspension, more of a depth player in Josh Boyd. He's suspended for the first 4 games, and we really only have 3 or 4, maybe 5 other guys that can play along the defensive line, and that's really a position we like to rotate in and out an awful lot. So aside from inside linebacker on defense, nose tackle I think is probably our biggest need. On offense, you know, I thought we could use a little bit of help at tight end, but that was sort of addressed with the signing of Jared Cook. So I was primarily looking on the defensive side of the ball in the first round.
Excellent. What are you hoping will fall to you in the second round of this draft, even though we all know the second round has already been chosen?
Well, I was kind of debating between Andrew Billings and Kamale Correa in the first round, and I would love to see him fall to round number 2 to me.
Well, hopefully you have your fingers crossed, and I'm sure the deeper part of the draft will be discussed in future episodes of our podcast. And of course, the Superfan Super Mock Draft will be made available on our Facebook page. So you will have to tune in to find out if Brian gets his player. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Pod.
All right, it's pick number 28, and we have a trade. The Dallas Cowboys have traded with the Kansas City Chiefs to get back here into the first round. Brian is here to join us to talk about it. Brian, who are you trading in here for?
Traded in into 28, mainly to get ahead of the Denver Broncos to select Paxton Lynch, quarterback from Memphis.
Oh, my. Now, when we talked earlier, you were all about the defense, and backup quarterback isn't a position to be looking at. Why now the sudden change?
This was the plan for me from the start, and this is the dream scenario. If Paxton Lynch can slip past 15, which in our mock draft worked out because the Rams traded up, I see a long slide for him. But I also see a quarterback who has an upside as high as Wentz and as high as Goff. If he's sitting there at the bottom of the first round, we do need to think about the future at some point. Paxton Lynch is not ready to take the field day one. I don't think he's ready to take the field year one. He is the perfect developmental quarterback. So we can have him sit for a year, for 2 years, and groom him to work on some of those technical flaws. And again, I think he can, he's to me is the closest thing to Aaron Rodgers in this draft in terms of upside from a quarterback who will sit behind a, you know, star QB for a few years.
How much did you have to get? How much did you have to give up though to get Paxton Lynch?
Had to give up our fourth pick or our fourth round pick at the top of the fourth, which is okay because we also have a compensatory fourth and we already had 9 picks on the books. So gave up a fourth and our sixth, did get back a 7th from Kansas City, which again, to get a QB that I've identified as, you know, can be the future is an easy price to pay.
And obviously you gave up your second round pick just so that everyone knows exactly what the compensation was there. So the Chiefs acquire a 2, a 4, and you said a 6?
Yes.
Yeah. So I can see when we talk with Ken a little bit later on about this pick. I'm sorry. Damn it. So I can see when I talk a little bit later on with Nick, I have a feeling this trade made all the sense in the world to him. I'm not so sure it's going to work out for you in the long run here. I don't know how much I like trading back into the first round for Paxton Lynch, but you made the choice. You seem to like it. And honestly, as a GM of a team, you got to feel good about it.
To come away in the first round with an impact defensive end in Joey Bosa, plus our quarterback of the future and Paxton Lynch, and have that extra year of control with him, I couldn't be happier with how this first round played out.
All right, Brian, congratulations on getting the players you wanted. I'm sure we'll talk to you again somewhere down the road.
Sounds good, Pod.
All right, with the 29th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, it is the Arizona Cardinals. We have yet another Brian on the board. This would be the third Brian in a row. Instead of Brian, I'm going to call you Dr. Jones. You represent the Arizona Cardinals. You have selected the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, Robert, I'm going to mispronounce your name, Kimdiche.
You're close. It's Kimdiche.
Oh, I had my accent going agoo instead of the other way. Tell me a little bit about the pick here, Dr. Jones.
Well, to be honest, we're over the moon. As I look at Robert Kimdiche, we've got a player with top 10 talent falling all the way to 29. If there's one thing that the Cardinals are right now, we're in win now mode. And to get someone with those kind of talents at 29, we're very, very happy with that. I would love for that to actually happen on draft day. Being in win now mode, that means we're a very solid team with what I believe is an amazing secondary. as you look back on some of our playoff mishaps and our playoff win against Green Bay, one thing that you can definitely say is we definitely made our secondary cover for just a little bit too long. So picking up Kem Diche, pairing him with someone that I'm sure you were sad to lose, Chandler Jones, I think we have the makings of a formidable pass rush. And if we can cut down the coverage time by, you know, even a half second to a second, I think you're going to find that we're going to be creating more turnovers, more defensive touchdowns, and obviously creating more havoc in the backfield, which is one of the most important things you can do on a football field is rushing the passer. So we're very happy with that pick.
So in terms of this draft, it sounds like you got the guy that you were hoping would fall there. We know it sounds like you feel like that's not actually going to happen. So who are some of the other guys you considered here?
Well, we were definitely considering Ryan Kelly. I was shocked to see Jaron Reed, defensive tackle of Alabama, fall all the way out of the first round. But those were two people that I was definitely considering. Ryan Kelly, a center, makes complete sense for us. Team captain, Alabama starting offensive line. We have a definite need at center to go with Iupati, Mathis, Veldier. We have a great core of offensive linemen. Bringing in someone young, hungry, team captain from Alabama, that would never hurt. So I would say Ryan Kelly was probably number two on my board at that time. Again, though, just can't pass up on pass rushing talents like Kem Diche.
As the draft will continue to develop, any thoughts at all about the quarterback position?
You know, not really. We've still got Drew Stanton for another year or two behind Carson Palmer. We definitely have a need for a backup quarterback, but with the picks that we had in this draft, none really fell to us. I really was looking in the fourth round at Christian Hackenberg, but he went about five picks before. I currently live in Central PA, and I know what he's had to deal with the last few years. His offensive line was literally offensive. It was a travesty watching Hackenberg have to run for his life for the last couple of years, but I would have definitely looked at him in the third round or the fourth round, probably the fourth round, but he just didn't fall to us.
That's Dr. Jones. He's one of our newest super fans. He applied by sending us an application to nextfanup@gmail.com. It's going to be one of the places you're going to want to react to his pick here of the defensive tackle. Thank you very much, Dr. Jones. I'm sure we'll talk to you again down the road.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
With the 30th pick in the first round of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the Carolina Panthers. Their representative is Jimmy Six. He has taken the safety from West Virginia, Carl Joseph. Jimmy, tell me what you were thinking about with this pick.
Well, there's a couple things I was looking at with this pick. I was really hoping Robert Condici would fall to me, and he just got snatched up the pick before by the Cardinals. So he was my number one pick. I'm hoping that Carolina will look at him, kind of ignore the off-field issues that Condici has had. But I think Condici is one of the best players in the draft, and if he falls to later in the draft, especially pick 30, where we need defensive line help, I think with our locker room and Carolina kind of be under the radar, not a prominent location, I think that would be a good landing spot for Condici. But in our mock draft, that did not happen, so I took my next player that I was really looking at, Carl Joseph. And Carl Joseph is a solid tackler and a big hitter in the safety position that we just haven't had in a long time. The last prominent safety I say we've really had was Mike Minner, and we've kind of had filling guys since then. And I think Carl Joseph adding another piece to this defense. We've added guys at the front line, the middle line. Now we're starting to add guys at the secondary level to complement Josh Norman. I think Carl Joseph is a great pick here. I'm really happy with the pick.
You guys have the lovely title of Super Bowl loser for this year. Was defense really what was behind the loss to the Denver Broncos?
I don't think so. I think everyone's going to look at the offensive line. And at this point in the draft, there's a couple tackles out there that I was kind of looking at. Nothing really that stands out. But when you look at the offseason and how it's happened, Jared Allen has retired. Our defensive tackles, Kawan Short and Star Lotulelei, are now in their final year of the rookie deal. We're able to bring back Charles Johnson on a cheap one-year deal after we cut him. So I think our defensive line, all of a sudden next year, will have holes. And I think at this point, being a heavy defensive draft, I think this is a year to keep adding to that defensive scheme. And I think our offensive line will be able to be addressed later in the rounds. I'm not a big fan of looking at it in the first round with our 30th pick, especially with all these defensive studs that are out there. I think we should address somewhere on the defense. Like I said, I was really hoping Kandichi fell and just add another piece of that puzzle in the front line. And if you look at the formula that Denver had, they applied pressure to a quarterback and pretty much everything else on that team was ignored. They were able to get to the quarterback. And if you have prominent pass rushers, it doesn't matter who you're facing, you're going to get to the quarterback. So I think we just need to keep on chugging, keep on plowing, get more guys on the defensive side, especially with holes opening up next year. I think we're only going to be able to keep either Kawan Short or Star Lotulelei in the way they played last year. That I'm leaning towards Kawan Short. But, I think we need to go defense here with the first pick or the first round pick here.
Super Bowl bound again?
I hope so. I definitely think we're playoff bound. I think 15-1 is a bit of a I would have said 15-1 was crazy last year, but who knows? I don't think we'll go 15-1 again, but I definitely think we'll compete for the division and the wild card as well. So I think this team has a good, solid foundation built that's going to stick around and compete in the NFC South as well as the rest of the NFC. So I think the playoffs are definitely in reach, and then anything could happen in the playoffs, as you can see in the Super Bowl and the rest of the playoffs. Anything can happen. So we're going to be players to be reckoned with these next couple of years. So I think we just need to keep adding to that defense, and hopefully the offensive line holds up.
That's Jimmy. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
And with the 31st pick in the first round of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, it is unfortunately, at least for me, the last pick of the first round. It is the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. Our new Broncos superfan is Louie. He has selected the offensive tackle from Ohio State, Taylor Decker. Hi, Louie. Tell me about your pick.
Well, I was a little, I wouldn't say upset, but a little surprised. I was kind of going for Robert Kandichi out of Ole Miss. I wanted to replace Malik Jackson, but I thought Decker was good value for a position of need. I see, like, Decker going in mid-20s or like 18 to like the Colts. So I'm not that upset with the pick, but I was pretty bummed that Kandichi went two picks to Arizona a little earlier.
Now, you made this pick before the Ryan Clady trade, and you mentioned that it was a pick of need then. Is this pick now even more of a need with Clady gone?
Well, I assume Clady was going to be gone once we signed Okung. We needed the cap space for possibly a future quarterback, or we didn't even have enough cap room to sign our future draft picks. So Clady, we knew was gone, but we needed the pick just because we don't know with Okung what he's going to do. He's really a one-year, $5 million deal if it doesn't work out. Decker is capable of playing left tackle, right tackle, and we have pieces on the offensive line, but we just have to find out where to put the guys correctly. So adding another valuable player like Decker should hopefully help out.
What other, you mentioned the replacement of Malik Jackson. What other positions of need are you looking to fill as the draft continues?
Well, the positions of need I think the team needs to go for is defensive end because of Malik, inside linebacker because we lost Danny Trevathan, and quarterback.
Any thoughts of, did you try to trade up, or was it a little too expensive for the team?
I didn't try to trade up. I thought Kandichi was going to fall, but I had a feeling Arizona would be interested in him, even though they did get Chandler Jones. And everyone thought I was going for Paxton Lynch. I wasn't really interested in him. Someone traded up. I think the Cowboys traded up with the Chiefs.
Yes, they did.
But yeah. So, no, I was just really hoping Kandichi would fall, but he didn't. And I think Decker's good value for where we got him.
Awesome. Louie, like we've mentioned before, one of our newer super fans, he applied by sending us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You're going to want that email to react to his pick of Taylor Decker here at the end of the first round. Louie, good job. I do feel that the Broncos are in for a hard fall here this season. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to tend to disagree. I think our defense is still pretty formidable, and our quarterback play wasn't really so good last year. So I think our offense will be hopefully a little better, even though you could say Sanchez, Payton, like Payton's great, but he didn't have such a great year last year. And I don't know. I think our defense will be fine and it will carry us again. I don't think we'll be in too bad shape as everyone might assume.
All right, there you go. If you want to disagree with them, nextfanup@gmail.com. If you want to agree with them and put me in my place, nextfanup@gmail.com. Thanks.
All right, have a good day.
All right, now we're going to talk to some of the teams that are out of the first round, and we'll start with the Kansas City Chiefs. This is Nick, who's been one of our Sunday regulars and our Sunday host for quite some time. Nick, you ended up trading out of the first round. You traded with the Cowboys to come out of the first round. What were your thoughts there? Was the value just too much to pass up?
Well, it was a good trade. I mean, my main thinking going into the mock draft was that the Chiefs, basically the only two spots on our lineup right now where I see it's likely a draft pick from this draft is going to end up starting is either at guard or at cornerback. And really, to me, the value at both of those positions is fairly level from the guys you've been seeing going at the end of the first round through to almost the entire back end of the second round. I mean, there's guys that would be able to, we could plug in that have been going all over that slot. And so basically I figured if there are enough guys that were still on my board that were there, I would definitely want to trade back, especially because the Chiefs got knocked with that tempering penalty where we lost our third round pick. I really wanted to get another pick in the top 100 for the Chiefs. Ended up getting from the Cowboys their 101st overall pick, which is in the top of the fourth, and we swapped my seventh for his sixth. So it just kind of gave the Chiefs a little bit more ammunition in the mid-rounds that sort of made up for that tampering penalty. And in the end, I was able to get guard Cody Whitehair, a local guy, Kansas State. And he's pretty much everybody's top-ranked guard. I think he's great value at the top of the second. He, now that the Chiefs, you know, they brought in Mitchell Schwartz to start at right tackle, guard spots are still sort of iffy. There's enough young guys there that I think everyone's looking for one of them to at least step up and be a relatively solid starter. But I think the Chiefs have to be worried about putting, you know, they need one more solid guy to put in a guard. And so Cody Whitehair would definitely give that. And what I like about him as well is they say he needs to improve a little bit on his overall physicality, probably needs to bulk up a bit in terms of upper body strength, but his awareness is world for a college prospect. And he was playing left tackle at Kansas State. And so, you know, he seems fairly ready mentally for the NFL, and the fact that he has the experience to tackle means that he gives us some depth at another position as well, which I think is really useful. Because it seems like always, like every offensive line loses at least one or two guys throughout the season. What would have gone a little bit better for me is I was really eyeing a couple of corners, Eli Apple and William Jackson III. If I could have traded back and still gotten one of those, that would have been an absolute perfect move for me. But I'm still satisfied with the way this went for me.
I think the value that you ended up getting in that trade was just too much to turn down for sure. You ended up getting the guard that you mentioned. What were some of the other positions that you're hoping to fill as the draft continues on?
Well, I think everyone's now concerned with Justin Houston's injury. I mean, we now know that he had ACL surgery in February for this sort of weird injury that cropped up late in the season. While he didn't tear it, he still needed to have that repaired in February. And so that puts his recovery at 6 to 12 months. I mean, I think the earliest we're going to see him is mid-season, and even then, I mean, he's a guy I definitely don't want to push. I mean, he's as important of a player to our franchise as I think there is, you know, on the team. But it does create some need for a little bit more pass rushing firepower. I mean, basically our whole defense has been based around the pass rush that he and Tamba Ali off the other edge have been bringing. Tamba's getting a little up there in age. He's always pretty banged up. D Ford, we have as our first round pick in 2014. He showed some things last year as a depth player, but I think there's definitely you know, the Chiefs got to be wary of a lot of these guys that we really depend on for the pass rush getting banged up. And I think using a high pick on another pass rusher would really be, you know, a smart choice, just for, not only for this season, but for the future, given how much we rely upon that edge rush to be competitive.
All right, that's Nick. As I mentioned, a regular on our weekend shows. He's been the host of our weekend shows, and you're going to hear a lot from him, I have a feeling, as the season goes on, because the Chiefs are definitely going to be in contention in that AFC West. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
We're joined now by our Seattle Seahawks superfan, Justin. They originally had the 26th pick in the draft. They traded out of that spot with the Dolphins. So their first pick ended up being number 42. Justin, talk to me first about trading back. Obviously, acquiring picks is something that, as a fan of the Patriots, I'm very much well aware of how that works and how exciting, quote unquote, that can be. But from in this exercise, as the GM of this team, talk to me about what you were thinking there with that trade.
Well, I was thinking a couple of things. One is kind of a philosophical point. I really believe that more bites at the apple is really key here. I mean, you see just as many stars come late in the draft as you do early. I think both of our teams kind of live in those later rounds. And so getting more picks to me is incredibly valuable, especially because the areas that I'm really looking at as far as areas of need, there's really good talent to be had in round two and round three. So as you mentioned, I traded back. I gave up my first and I picked up a second and a third, and then I gave up a 2017 fifth. So all of a sudden I go into rounds two and three and I have a ton of ammunition. And that's exactly what I want.
You end up picking the center from Alabama, Ryan Kelly. Obviously, offensive line has been a position of weakness for the Seahawks for a little while now. Talk to me a little bit about filling that need and maybe some of the other holes that you were thinking about in this spot.
Yeah, you know, my first two picks were both offensive linemen. I don't necessarily set out specifically to get one exact spot, but it just kind of fell really nicely for me. And they're two guys who couldn't be more different, in my opinion. Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, he's a little smaller, but he's really polished. His game is really, really well developed. He's a guy who can step in, I think, pretty quickly and be productive. Whereas the guy I picked a little bit later, Gerald Hawkins, his game is kind of unpolished. His technique isn't great, but his body is perfect for a tackle. And, you know, when you have a high-end offensive line coach, you look at those kind of building blocks, and you can do a lot with them. One of the advantages of having a pretty good team is you don't need to reach necessarily for any area of need. Obviously, offensive line is a huge, huge weakness, but I grabbed those players because they were there. If there were other players I liked a lot better, I would have taken them. I just have kind of faith that we can roll out a good team pretty much regardless.
Oh, well, it's kind of nice to hear from the teams that can take the luxury of trading back and taking the player that they want. It's not normally what we hear from fans. Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely. But so I will say one player I was really interested in the first round that may have affected my choice to trade back was Doxson, the wide receiver. Just a big, huge, long arm, massive catch radius guy. And, you know, the Seahawks wide receiving core is pretty much all smaller, quick guys with, you know, just really good route running. So having that different body type, that different kind of look would have been really, really nice. But I'd already been thinking about trading out. As soon as I saw he was off the board, my decision was made and I was gone.
All right, Justin. Well, good luck to your Seahawks, kind of. You did what you wanted to do, and that's great. And, you know, I can't really complain too much about it. I think the trade made a bunch of sense for you. And as the exercise will continue, people will have a chance to look at your picks on our Facebook page, and they can get in touch with you and, you know, yell and scream at you.
Sounds good. Those are conversations I'm always looking forward to.
I've saved the best for last. Is the New England Patriots, our super fan representing that team, is Patrick. Obviously, Patrick, we were without a first round pick
this year in the draft, which kind of sucks. But you've done the best you could with all the picks that the Patriots do have. And it sounds like you actually managed to trade up in the second round.
I did. And I don't like to think about it as us not having a pick. I like to think about it as us having our best player from this year's class suspended for 80 consecutive games.
That's well done. Talk to me about what you're hoping to fill here for the Patriots.
So the Patriots, fortunately, don't have a lot of holes in terms of who their starters are. And that's somewhat fortunate. It's mostly, though, because they're a well-run organization that looks ahead. And they knew the situation they were coming into this year. So they were able to lock up everybody last year that they needed to with the, and they brought in free agents to fill whatever voids that they had where they didn't already have backups capable of stepping in. They didn't lose a whole lot of guys through free agency. And the most notable loss that they have is Chandler Jones, who I thought they were going to give up anyway because they had a more than capable backup. So why carry the salary? So in essence, the only real starting gap that we have at this point is at running back. And that's not really that big a deal these days. So for the most part, we're walking into this draft with 11 picks in our pocket and just looking to get better all the way around, mostly at the backups.
You traded up for a cornerback in Kendall Fuller from Virginia Tech. Talk to me about the thinking there.
So I was watching the first round and, you know, not feeling very happy about that. And then I was watching the second round and it kind of played out the way I thought it was going to, where there were a lot of runs on defensive linemen. People are enamored by the defensive lineman class. So I guess not realizing basic economics, they're all making a run on guys that, you know, they don't need to make a run at. And that's creating an opportunity to get guys at, in my opinion, more valuable positions that otherwise would have gone if not for everybody trying to get a defensive tackle this year. So Kendall Fuller, who on my board was the third rated cornerback in this class, is still sitting there in the middle of the second round. I had a feeling that New Orleans would be willing to make a trade with me to get some more picks, because they're going through some rebuilding. And that was the case. You know, so I made a trade with the New Orleans superfan to trade up into the middle of the second round to get Kendall Fuller. It cost me one of my two back-to-back picks at the bottom of the second round, as well as a late third round pick. But to go out and get a guy that I think could probably start at the right corner spot, where we do have a starter now, but I'd be more than happy to replace that guy. I thought that was a pretty good play and well worth the value.
You know, we've been talking on the podcast for a little while now. I thought the Patriots, you know, looking at the depth of the defensive tackle class, might pick up another defensive tackle. They've done everything they could in the offseason to sign, I guess, basically any defensive tackle available. So I don't see that happening now in the draft. I do like where you're going, but you had mentioned running back. And so far in your second and third round choices, no running back in those picks.
That's true. So my other second round pick that I was left with, I ended up taking LaRaven Clark, who might be able to come in and play right tackle next year when presumably we're going to lose Sebastian Vollmer. Or he could be another backup because I don't think we're going to be able to carry Marcus Cannon's contract this year. He makes too much money. Right now it's not that big a deal because the salary cap, you're only hit for the top 51. But when we start having to worry about, you know, signing everybody and setting our final roster, we're spending way too much money on a backup that isn't very good. So I'd rather replace him with a rookie. And LaRaven Clark, I think, can do that. He's not the best offensive tackle that I could get. Probably the best I could get at the bottom of the second round, which obviously is why I took him. And then in the third round, where I probably should have taken a running back because there were starting caliber running backs available where I was picking. And I said, that's our only spot where we're really missing somebody. I couldn't resist the temptation. And I took Moritz Behringer from Germany, who is he's a height, weight, speed guy, but he also had 70 catches last year in Germany for 1,400 yards and like 17 touchdowns, something like that. He's a 4-4 guy on grass. you know, so he's a 4-3 guy on turf. And he just completely lit up his pro day. He's a projection. He's clearly a projection, but I mean, so it's Braxton Miller. So given that, I'd rather have the 6-4 guy that runs a 4-3, and hopefully you roll the dice and you get the next Randy Moss, only he's German. You know, probably not. But hey, we got two other German nationals on the team, so we might as well bring in a third.
I love the pick in that it sounds like one of those classic New England Patriot picks. You know, that said, you didn't have to do what the Patriots tend to do. But I like it from a sense standpoint as well.
Well, I mean, what the Patriots tend to do is draft a wide receiver that can't pick up the offense and they cut him 2 years later. That's what they tend to do.
That is also true. Patrick, thanks for jumping in. And I know I'll be talking to you a bunch more as the season goes on.
All right, bud. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
That's going to do it for the Superfan Super Mock Draft. As I've mentioned a few times, nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the email address. Tell us what you think about what your superfan did. Did he do a good job? Did he do a horrible job? Is he right on track? We want to know from you. Email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, the entire Superfan Super Mock Draft is available for you to see on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU Podcast, or of course, just search Next Fan Up on Facebook and our page shows right up. We've got more podcasts for you. We'll have talk about some of the later rounds of the Superfan Super Mock Draft coming up this Sunday. And then later on this week, we'll have another preview show getting ready for the draft. We'll have a special guest, I'm sure. At least I'm working on one. And then next week, we'll do our first round reaction to the real NFL draft on Friday. So that's sort of what we got going on right now. Hope you continue to tune in. Of course, you can check us out at blogtalkradio.com/nextfanup. And you can also get podcast on iTunes. Subscribe there. Vote for us in the podcast awards, podcastawards.com. Nominate us. I would love to win a podcast award with these 32 guys right by my side. That'll do it. I'm Pod Vader. Here's Jeff Fisher letting you know there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is 4 quarters long.